Title of what I'm going into tonight is, Do We Want Independence? Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. The only part I want us to focus on is the very bottom, the last two lines. It says, You will be like God, knowing good and evil. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, all I wanted was just that one little section, but everybody, does everybody know who's talking? It's the serpent. It's Satan talking in the garden. And you know what? If you just, hey, good job. You will be like God, knowing both good and evil. You know, it seems like a pretty lofty and commendable ideal to be like God. What would be wrong with that? Yet out of the mouth of Satan, manifesting himself through a serpent, it enticed Adam and Eve into disaster and these evil consequences which have affected everyone. What was the undetected snare that Adam and Eve fell prey to? It was the motive. Even though it was unstated, it was implied, this promise of independence. You don't know everything. If you'll eat this, you will. God's just holding back on you. Go ahead and eat it. You know, that's a direct relation, a direct connection to sin. It's okay. Nobody will know. It's really not sin. Have you ever heard Pastor Stephen talk about where the youth are today? And a large percentage of youth believe that as long as they don't get caught, it's not wrong. Well, I'm sorry, but they've learned that from someone. They didn't just make up this ideal. They learned from their parents. They learned from the generation before them. And so many today feel that, you know what, if I'm not caught, it's not wrong. Satan's sitting here saying, it's all right, he's not going to know. And what you get from it is going to make you equal to him. He's just trying to keep you back. He's just trying to hold you back. Go ahead and sin. God's naming these things sin to hurt you. That's a lie. That's a lie. Once you know good and evil, you'll be free to make your own decisions. You'll no longer be dependent on God. You know, one of the scriptures I have one of the hardest times with, it's one of those that when I read it, I thought I wished I'd not read that. It says, if you know what's right to do and you don't do it, it's sin. Boy, that covers a lot. It's like I read that and it's like, man, could I just rewind and not read that? Because once the truth is known, you know, have you ever seen a child that they don't know something's wrong to do and they don't focus on it at all, but the moment you tell them no, their focus completely goes to the thing. You go and you lay your cell phone down on the ground. And they've got all these toys to play with. And you tell them, you can play with everything. Just don't play with that. What's happened? They've come into this room and all of a sudden they're having a big time. They can look around, hey, this is great. And mommy says no, and all of a sudden it goes. And they can't take their focus off of that. I don't care if there's a motorcycle over here. Or a video game. Or a lollipop. Mommy said, no, this really must be good. And you know, for a child, so many times we sit there and we spank them and you're going to obey me. When so many times, if you'll just take that and remove it, all of a sudden, there's a world out here still. There's another toy. I'll go get that toy. We remove. But you know, all of a sudden, the focus is on the tree. God said, don't eat that tree. You know what? I don't believe that Adam and Eve were focusing on that tree. But the serpent came up and said, you've missed the whole deal. Look at that tree. He's holding back on you. He's got control on you. He's got chains on you, and you don't know it. If you'll eat that, you'll have it. You'll have what he has. This self-asserting desire for independence has been inherited throughout the whole human race, all the way from Adam and Eve. It is the distinctive mark of the old Adam. Have you ever heard that term? The old Adam. The fallen, sinful nature that lurks in all of us. But you know what? There are various routes that humanity takes to seek independence from God. The first is knowledge. In the Garden of Eden, there were two special trees. Do you remember what they were? There was the tree of life, and there was the tree of knowledge. It was the critical moment in history when Adam and Eve turned away from the tree of life and chose the tree of knowledge. And ever since, the attainment of knowledge has been one of the main goals of humanity. And we've seen over the last two or three centuries that this has expressed itself in an unbelievable fashion and an unbelievable emphasis, especially in science. And you know, the Latin word for science is knowledge. It means knowledge. And this explosion of science has not solved humanity's most basic problems: injustice, cruelty, war, poverty, disease. In fact, in some ways, it's increased it. What has science given us? I'm not saying science is bad. Science is good, for the most part. But like anything else, we take it too far and we go too far. But what has science given us? It's given us weapons of mass destruction. That at the flip of a switch, the whole world could be annihilated. And it gets in the wrong hands, and they'll just do it just for the fun of it. Another route, not just knowledge, another route where humanity has followed to seek independence from God might come as a surprise to you. It's religion. In various forms, men have established religious rules and systems of worship so complete and all-sufficient that there is no further need of God. All they've got to do is just keep their rules. You know what? I've lived that way. I've lived that way before. If I can just keep the rules, I'll be okay. I'll just stay within this. I'm rules-oriented. You know what? Give me my set of rules and let me know where my guidelines are. I'm much that way with my schedule. If I can get in my schedule, I don't need anybody. You break me out of my schedule and I'm going to be I'm crippled. You know, my strengths. I get in my strengths and I think that I don't need any help. You know what? That's wrong. I believe that's sin. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I think that's what we all do. And I think to a degree, the Lord has gifted us to be strong in certain areas. He wants us to be strong in certain areas, but not lose our dependence upon Him because of that strength. But we look, these religions that are practiced, even Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, and even some forms of Christianity. All these religions, people can become so satisfied in their rules and procedures that they become independent of God Himself. This explains why earnest religious people are sometimes the slowest to respond to the gospel's offer of grace that can't be earned. And let me take it just another step forward. I believe that we can get so hung up in our religion and even in our church that we don't repent or think we need to repent. We go to church, we raise our hands, we shout, we dance, we cry. You know, I want to apply it here. I don't believe that we have allowed this to happen, but you know what? Even in our form, we need to make sure that we're changing, that our hearts are changing, and that we're being changed by God regularly. The moment we stop changing, I believe, is the moment we start dying. Living things change. They grow. They sweat. They got to be cleaned up. Things that they're dead don't. They don't do anything. They might collect dust. Are y'all with me so far? Another way that man seeks to achieve independence from God is by trying to get a large amount of money and material possessions. Jesus told a parable of a rich landowner who became so successful that he had no more room to store his crops. So what did he do? He built a bigger room. Well, that makes sense. He's growing. He decided to build an even larger storage facility. And then he would say to his soul, he says this in Luke chapter 12, verse 19. That's not what I got. Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. It's close. I think I got a different translation. But God said to him, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? Flip back to 19. Let me just read your version. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you've worked for? So many people through history have been lured into this same desire for independence and into making the same tragic error. And we continue to make it today. This desire of being independent of God is the distinct mark of the kingdom of those that believe in those that belong to the kingdom of Satan. Rebellious angels, demons, fallen humanity. It's also a description of the world concerning which Jesus said of his disciples, they are not of the world, just as like I am not of the world. This description of the world consists of the people that have never submitted themselves to the authority of God's appointed King, Jesus Christ. Some of these moral religious people, some of these are moral religious people, but when they're challenged with God's requirement for unreserved submission to the Lordship of Jesus, the rebellious, independent old man rises to the surface and they reject God's offer of salvation through grace. Now, I can tell, this is getting heavy. And I want it to be heavy. This, you know, sometimes we need to get heavy. And worship tonight was heavy. It was deep. We had a word. We had a tongue. We had an interpretation. We need to not grow numb to the fact that we can let bitterness and unforgiveness sink in and we don't even know it. We need to not get so self-righteous that we have sin in our life and we don't repent. I don't know what school you come from, but I come from the school of the word says to repent. So I repent. Sometimes when I know what I've done, sometimes when I don't. And you know what? Psalms, David showed us. David was a man after God's own heart. And what did David say? Search me, O God. Bring light to the areas that I can't see. This is my paraphrase. Search me and know me. You created me. Search me. He said, don't let your anointing leave me. What's he saying? He's saying, I know I'm man and I know I mess up. I know I'm going to mess up. Forgive me. Help me to see it and help me to come clean before you. This is David. This is the anointed King. Back before the Holy Spirit was given to all men, the Holy Spirit was given to the prophets, the priests, and the king. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit was given to the prophets and the priests and the king. This was the king. Not only was he a king, but he was also filled with the Spirit. Let me tell you, I believe like nobody else, he flowed with the Spirit, wrote songs, worshiped. When he worshiped, demons fled. All he had to do was play his harp. And demons would flee. This man repented. This man, when he messed up by committing adultery and then having the husband killed, repented. This man, after his son died, got up and worshiped. How much do we, as men that have the new covenant, we have Jesus Christ. We don't have to wait for the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement's today. The Day of Atonement's when you get home tonight. We can come clean before the Lord right now and say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And restore me back to where I was supposed to be. And help me not fall off that wagon again. But if I do, show me. And help me to have the strength to make the right decision. We must not go numb to the fact that the serpent, Adam and Eve had the very presence of God. God would come down and be with them. God created the perfect scenario, the perfect environment, and Adam and Eve was deceived. Remember how Adam reacted? This woman you gave me did it. Where were you? Well, I was there. What did you do? I ate it. But it was her. Isn't that a man? You know that woman you gave me? Church, hear me. Having the ability to repent is key. Your breakthrough in your life lies in your ability to repent, to forgive. I'm going to go deeper and deeper into this in the next couple weeks in this independence. But what I feel like the Lord is saying is repent. Repent. Pastor, I don't know how to repent. Oh, I'm glad you asked. Father, forgive me of my sin. And repentance is not, that's not it. Everybody ought to know this because I do this all the time. It's I stop, I ask for forgiveness, I plead the blood of Jesus, and then I turn and I don't walk that way anymore. I don't keep going in sin knowing God's going to forgive me. What is that? That's what we call greasy grace. You're kind of playing the game. God doesn't play games. He's got one game, and it's His game. We play by His rules, or we get out from under His kingdom. And I don't want to be there. I want under. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask again, let a spirit of repentance fall on this church. Lord, let it fall on our leadership, on the pastors, on the deacons, on the leadership, on our teachers. Lord, your word says that repentance is a gift. And your word also says that there will come a time that that gift won't be given. Lord, I thank you that this day it is. Let us speak it out of our mouth. I repent. Father, I repent. I repent for my thoughts. I repent for my actions. And I ask you to show yourself strong in my life and shine light in those dark cracks that sometimes I can't even see. Shine the light in this church in those dark cracks that we can't even see. Lord, let your bride be prepared for your return. Let us have oil in our lamps when you return. As Brother John interpreted, you're coming, Lord. That day draws nigh. You're coming, Lord. That's what Bill said, that you're coming. Thank you, Lord. Bless our church. Bless this night. Bless this week. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming. We're so glad you're here. Stick around and visit a little bit if you'd like.